We've been talking about Isaiah 53. And I told you that whole chapter is so powerful because what it does, and it's strange that I never seen it the way that I've seen it, but it speaks as a substitutionary work of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, he took your place to get results for what you needed because you couldn't qualify to get the results. Isn't that good news?
Amen.
It means that you could not within yourself, talking about the substitutionary work of Christ, that you could not within yourself provide physical healing for your body. That you could not qualify to provide for yourself a healed mind. That you could not qualify for yourself to be saved, brought into salvation. Jesus did it for you. Isn't that incredible? Now, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. And we're going to talk about speaking in tongues. Yes, we're going to do it on the Sunday morning service. And we're going to talk about the importance of the Holy Spirit. You know, I'm enjoying him more and more. Believe it or not, more and more. I just can't put into words how much the Holy Spirit means to me. And I hope that I encourage you today to move into that same realm of respect. The churches today are getting away from the Holy Spirit. They're not teaching as much on him. I remember when Dennis and Rita Benner got into the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and man, it ignited a fire in them that affected the body of Christ. They were very instrumental in breaking religious barriers for that charismatic part of God called baptism of the Holy Spirit that did wonders for the body of Christ. Men were coming into gatherings that it didn't matter what denomination you were in, and that included the charismatic renewal. They call it the charismatic renewal. Actually, the charisma of God has been here before denominations. Hallelujah. And people don't realize that. The church seems to think that the baptism of the Holy Spirit and everything is new, but it's not. It was here before any denomination. Right. So being with charisma is not a bad thing. It's a very good thing. Mm-hmm. And I might say up till about 16 years ago, I never really had respect for the Holy Spirit that I have today. Till about 15 years ago when I was drying up. And yes, as your pastor, I was drying up. And you know what will cause you to dry up quicker than anything else? To hear the word and not do it. You get bored. You get tired of church. You won't become faithful anymore. Faithfulness involves being with people. Because you dry up. Either that or you become a legend in your own mind. Because part of spiritual growth is interaction with other believers. Praise God. But up until about 15 or 16 years ago, I started seeking the Lord. Because I could tell I let my flesh get out there, away from the presence of the Lord. Not that I put my flesh back in the world. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying I put my flesh out away from the presence of God in my life in such a way that I was drying up. You know what the Lord shared with me about Pentecost the other night? I was praying. And I said, why did you put cloven tongues of fire over their head? You know, no one's ever really given me an answer to that. You know, what was fire used by the priests of the Old Testament? What did they do with fire? When people offered their sacrifice, what had happened to it? It's burnt up. They'd consume it. Burn it up. And I said, God, why? Why these tongues of fire over each one of them? It set upon their head. And it was a sign, because they call that the day of Pentecost. It was a sign of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It was not a sign of the new birth. The new birth came after Jesus came out of the grave. And whoever believed upon him was born again. They just didn't know it. They didn't feel it. A lot of people, when they get born again, they don't feel nothing. They just act on what they know as truth. And they are saved. And the Holy Spirit has to birth your human spirit into the kingdom. Amen? So you're conceived. You're spermed into the kingdom by the Holy Ghost. He does that work. He makes your spirit brand new. You can't do that. He has to do it. Amen?
Amen.
And so on the day of Pentecost, when they were in the upper room by the commandment of Jesus, he said, you tarry there until you be endued with power from on high. The word power there is the word dunamis. Some people explain it as dynamite, explosive power, but that doesn't help us as much as the true meaning of the word dunamis. The word dunamis literally means achieving ability. That is the correct word for dunamis. It is the achieving ability of God in you. Glory to God. So when I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, I received the achieving ability of the kingdom of God to have its full potential in my life, to see to it that the destiny of my walk with the Lord will follow through to its completed intended course.
Hallelujah.
Isn't that good? The Holy Spirit. But I know Christians that are ashamed of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So ashamed that they don't even want to even hear anything to do with tongues. They talk against tongues. Or you can fellowship with them up to the point, get into good word with them and have fellowship. But when you mention this thing called tongues, they shut you off right away. You know? That is the Greek word glossolalia. It means a supernatural tongue that comes with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, what is the purpose of that tongue? I never could understand it. I understand it now. But what is the purpose of the tongue? Well, it's very clear why God gave us that supernatural language. But it is an option. It's by the choices that you make, but it's by the will of God that you should do it. And that's speak in tongues. Now, we had so many attack us against tongues when we first got saved, Sue and I, talking against it. But we kept hearing it all the time, and I had a craving on the inside of me for it. I didn't know why, you know. But I knew it was the thing to do. I just knew it. It was an inward witness. I was born again. Sue was born again. But we didn't have the baptism until we had Pentecost at our house one night. And Sue was in the bedroom. She was crying, and me and my other brothers started speaking in tongues, and Sue did too, in the bedroom. I thought that was so cute. They come running in and said, hey, your wife is speaking in tongues. And it was probably one of the greatest things that happened to me earlier in my walk with the Lord. But I had no respect for him like I do today. Matter of fact, not too long ago, I was in the park praying in the Holy Ghost. And I stopped under this tree. And I began to thank the Lord for this supernatural language and what it was intended to do for me. I thanked the Lord so much for it. I began to worship him and thank him for the tongues, because it is a supernatural utterance. Now, the purpose of the tongue is to bypass your natural thinking, understanding, whereby the Holy Spirit will use the language of your spirit to communicate to God. Divine secrets that is so beautiful that when God deposits the understanding back into your spirit, those divine secrets, it automatically purges your understanding. That's why he had to give them apart from your understanding. Christians mock. Why would he give you a tongue you don't understand? That's the greatest thing that ever happened to you. Because it's a way you can communicate to God and leave your brain out of it. You know why a lot of Christians won't receive tongues? Because they got too much pride in the way. Humility is the greatest thing for the kingdom of God. I didn't understand it then, but I wanted it. And when I got it, I loved it. But I didn't have the respect for it that I do now. But, you know, we've got ministers that actually accompany the pulpit that do not believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They do not qualify to really minister, and I'm going to be firm on that. You'll never go very deep with those kind of ministers. You'll never get into what we term revelation knowledge until you learn how to submit and surrender to the total possession of the Holy Spirit. Because when you're part of the fivefold ministry, you have to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And one of the reasons for that is so that when you gain insight through the Word of God, these divine secrets that was never been disclosed again, but can only be made by the illumination of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to share something with you. The church today as a whole, I'm saying as a whole, they have not learned to submit themselves to the Holy Spirit. Matter of fact, more and more ministries, even on television, are speaking less and less of the Holy Spirit. Have you noticed that? He doesn't seem to be mentioned much anymore. Matter of fact, in certain camps, when I challenge people to turn towards the outward anointing more, have a move of God in your church. Let the Holy Spirit give a divine word or a divine wisdom or prophecy or a tongue and an interpretation of a tongue. Encourage these things in your church because people need that supernatural guidance in your church apart from just you giving them a sermon all the time. You know, you can hear a message and hear a message, but it takes the Holy Ghost to break something in your life that is so special for you that it'll keep you on track and keep you moving towards the destiny that God has for you spiritually. Amen? You all need that. You know, I can only take you so far with what I know, but you know, the Holy Spirit has to go beyond what I think and reach into you personally and give you that supernatural word or impartation that will help you. Amen? Amen. But what the church has gotten away from, we've gotten into the glory of ministers rather than into the glory of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's the Holy Ghost that takes you there. 15 years ago or 16 years ago, I turned to the Lord and I said, Lord, I need to hear from you now. I want to know what's dying in me. I can detect when I'm cold in the Lord. You know something? Can you detect when you get cold in the Lord? I hope you can. And you know what he said to me? It was the best thing he ever said to me, but it was the most hurting. He said, hello. And I said, well, you know, the first thing, what do you mean, hello? Where did you go? And it dawned on me, he never went anywhere. I went. I don't know where I was going, but I went. And from that time on to this very day, he has been my best friend, my closest one to walk with. And he's gotten me to a place now that I'm so in love with the redemptive work of Jesus Christ, I don't know how to put it. Into words that love goes so deep for God. But when you fellowship with the Lord, you're bonding yourself to the Lord. When you don't fellowship with Him on a continual basis, you will lose that respect for God. Now I'm going to share some things with you today I need you to grasp a hold of. Wednesday night I'm teaching on faith. And I brought out the components of faith. But I'm learning some things just recently about faith that I'd never seen before. If I've never seen it before, then what I'm going to share with you today will be new to you. Unless you already knew it and I was the dummy. And that could be. Because sometimes pastors don't know everything. Sometimes the sheep in the body know more than the pastor because they have probably fellowship more. But anyway, putting that all aside, look at Isaiah 28. And let's go to verse 8. For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness. Something that, when he said vomit, he was referring to something that was regurgitated onto the table. Talking about bad doctrine. and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is a refreshing. Yet they would not hear. They would not hear what? They would not hear men with languages of another tongue teaching doctrine. Because it's important that doctrine be accurately delivered. You always hear this statement. Well, I know, I go, and I know not always all ministers are right and everything, but I've learned that God has shown me that I can take in the gold and the silver and the precious stone, but got to spit out the sticks. You know, that's our job, not yours. It's our job to get rid of the wood, hay, and stubble, so that what we deliver you is gold, silver, and precious stone. But ministers have not submitted themselves to teach correct doctrine, then it puts it in our hands to spit out the sticks. That is not right. We need ministers more committed to the Word of God, more committed to the fellowship of the Holy Spirit on a daily basis that are leading men. Hallelujah. Now notice what he says here. He says, but the word of the Lord was unto them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they may go and fall backward and be broken, snared, and taken. Isn't that interesting? You know why they fell backwards? Because they were not handling doctrine correctly. They thought they were. They looked almost identical to those of us with stammering lips and another tongue. The whole purpose of that, you'll find in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 5 there. He says the whole reason of speaking in that tongue is to draw the mysteries out of God. Draw mysteries out of the Lord. It's not implying something withheld. It's implying something not fully disclosed or revealed in the Old Testament, but now is made new in the New. And you draw those mysteries out. And then when they come to your understanding through your spirit, they automatically dominate your understanding. They work together. Your spiritual mind and your natural mind, they are growing together, believe it or not. They grow together. One does not grow apart from the other. God has not designed you that way. Now, let's take a look at this. Turn over to 1 John, and go to chapter 1, verse 18. Big John 1:18. Are you all there? No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Literally, this word for declared is a real, real wonderful word. It literally means it is he interpreted the Father. It is he that who interpreted the Father. It is he that interpreted the Father. Who? Jesus. No man has seen God at any time except the Son who has came out of the bosom of the Father. He is the one that will declare or interpret me. Now, I got news for you. The Old Testament believers, they sure didn't know God the way he really was. Because God had to deal with a nation that was contrary to his nature. Whenever someone has a nature that's contrary to God, God has to serve that nature by law. He has to corral it by rules and regulations. Why? If he doesn't control a nature that is contrary to his in order to keep them on the right path to do the right thing, to say the right thing, is literally put law on them. It's like wild animals, the wild animal kingdom. You know, they have to be caged. They have to be corralled because some of them can kill you. Now, there's going to come a time when the lion will lay down with the lamb. He won't look up his lamb chops for dinner. See, because that nature is what the nature of this world is looking for a release from. They're waiting, this nature of this world, and there's a God over it that is not of the kingdom of God. This God over this world has a nature operating in it, that nature itself is crying out for the manifestation of the sons of God, literally the return of the Lord with his saints, glory to God. And that nature will be removed once and for all. Glory to God. Glory to God. But as long as that nature rules, God has to rule it by law. And God doesn't want anything ruled by law. He wants to get people into his nature so that he can rule them through a nature that complements his, which is love. Glory to God. The very person of God is love. It's love. But it's not the kind of love that we think about today. It's the kind of love that puts up with anything just to bring you to a place of salvation. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now turn over to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And I want to show you something that's powerful. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. I like that. Let not your heart be troubled. In my Father's house are many mansions. Actually, in the Greek, it's dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know what he's talking about, people? He's not talking about mansions, houses. More believers today I talk with, they believe in that. They believe they got a mansion up there built. I can believe that. I don't have a problem with that. Do you? And if he's going there to live there, surely he's got a mansion picked out for me. I've even heard some people say your mansion is so much the desire of your heart, you don't even know the desire of your heart. When you get there and see your mansion, you are going to really glorify God because it's a perfect place that you could have always desired to live in. But that's not what that's referring to. It goes without any understanding that if I go there, I'm going to have a place prepared to me there. What we've done is we've taken this passage and we put it off in the by and by rather than the here and now. And when I get there in the by and by, I'll have a place to live at. No, God has providing a place for you right now, that where he is, you may be there also. Not referring to when you get to the third heaven, but referring to the walk that you have to carry out now through Jesus. And you have to go and live and dwell in that place he's intended for you. Are you following what I'm saying? Isn't that good news?
Amen.
It goes without question, I'm going to have a place up there. I mean, he wouldn't have me come there and say, okay, now I don't really have a place for you. You're going to have to build it all on your own. But first of all, get a job. No, I believe he's going to march me right to that perfect place in my life. But you know, he's more concerned about where you go from here than where you're going to get there.
Right.
That's his concern for you. Why? Well, are you going to wait till you get to your place where he's built for you so you have peace? He wants you to live in that place he intended you to live so that you have peace while you're here. Surely God is there. Unless you really got an unbelief I can't figure out. Oh gosh, thank you so much for this mansion, Lord, but I don't know how I'm going to pay the rent on this puppy. I ain't even got a job. I'm jobless, thanks to you. So in essence, you could say there is a dual meaning here. But the emphasis that he wanted to go to is to cause you to dwell where he is at, seated at the right hand of the Father. Different. He goes on to say, whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known the Father also. And from henceforth we know him, and we have seen him. And Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it would suffice me. Jesus goes and tells him that, and he turns around and says, look, I don't understand the jargon that you've got. We're going over my head. Just plainly tell me where he's at. Thank God for the grace of Jesus. Philip, how can you be so stupid? Oh, I'm sorry. That was my translation. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father. And it's, Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? What? This is oneness doctrine coming out here. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. The word works is not in the Greek there. And he says, these works that I do, you'll do these same works and greater works will you do. And he's talking about one work, and that is the new birth. Because no one got born again under Jesus' ministry. Now notice he says, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it, if ye love me and keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. This is the word paraclete, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. In other words, if I'm going to birth you into the kingdom of God, I'm going to give you a mentor, a teacher, one who will walk alongside you and reveal to you who I am. For I will not leave you without a father. Glory to God. Now, what I had learned recently was the different kinds of faith that operate. And I begin to realize how important it is to understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Because there's something about the ministry of the Holy Spirit that does more to our life than anything else. And if we ignore the Holy Spirit in our walk with God, we'll never see the fullness of what God is in our life. Number one, in the Old Testament, their faith That's why the Old Testament word faith is not there. It's trust. Their trust was based on a hope that's future tense. And the reason that they could trust God is because God manifested himself through the senses, their senses. And see, this is what a lot of us don't realize, why Jesus in pre-incarnate Christ, why he manifested through their senses. Because if he didn't manifest through their senses, he would get no results from them in response. And so the Bible tells us that one way that he approached is that he approached man in the Old Testament through angels. Through angels, they delivered the word. And because the angels delivered the word, they turned it into types and shadows and dreams and visions. That's how God communicated to the Old Testament believer. We could call that sense, knowledge, faith. Because a man could believe that it was God speaking to him, for an angel appeared. And sometimes it was the angel of the Lord. It was the Lord himself who took on the nature of an angel to appear and communicate for certain ones, because this one angel you could bow before, the others you couldn't. Amen. So at times it was the pre-incarnate Christ that did appear to man, and man would bow to that angel, and the angel would not tell them no. But there were times when the angels would tell them no, and it was just a lower angel sent on behalf of the Father and the Son. And Joshua did meet the angel of the Lord. And Joshua said, "Who are you for?" And said, the angel had his sword drawn. The angel said, "I'm for neither. I'm for truth." I wonder what Joshua was thinking when he said, "I'm the Lord." You know what Joshua was probably thinking? "I think I'll meditate in the word day and night, day and night, and day and night, so I will have good success." Because you sure wouldn't want to act contrary to that angel. That sword swings both ways. So they had what you call sense, knowledge, faith. The prophets, the reason that they could prophesy what they prophesy and it be established is the word, because it came directly through their senses by either an angel, a dream, or a vision, or an audible voice. They might not have seen something, but they had an audible voice, because that was the only way God could contact them, is through their senses. That's what you call sense, knowledge, faith. Now, the thing that I never saw before is when you start examining your own life and you believe in what you preach, why aren't you getting the results that you should be getting if you're not satisfied with the results that you are getting? Have any of you ever asked yourself that question? Or has it just been the pastor? Six truthful people here. 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Well, the rest of you are liars. Because there ain't a one of us in this room that has not questioned why they couldn't get the result. Some of you might be a legend in your own mind, thinking you're getting all the results that you need, and you're not really getting anything. But we won't pinpoint you out. First of all, it's because you're probably not here. Now, I often wondered, and it finally was disclosed to me, I often wonder, how can a prophet, having a whole army come against him and be at such peace, and say, and have his servant say, "What are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Oh, Lord, open his eyes." He saw through his senses. Wow, we're okay. Sense, knowledge, faith. Well, that prophet, he knew, because he had God appear through his senses at one time. Say. And so he learned, he learned how to discern God working with him, because God worked with him through his senses. You don't have that option today. Uh-oh. Well, when Jesus appeared and walked the shores of Galilee, did he not get results? Did he heal in the Gospels? Did he heal because he had revelation knowledge? Or did he heal because he was the Son of God? He healed because he was the Son of God. And he healed out of the heart of compassion for humanity, not to prove who he was. That's how he walked. And you know his disciples? Guess what? They had faith in Jesus. But you know what it was? It was sense, knowledge, faith. How can that be? Because Jesus was with them. You know, how come you guys don't pray and fast? Jesus said, hey, wait a minute, you nuts. Why would they pray and fast when they've got me with them? Right. You know, there's going to come a time I'm going to be with them. Then they're going to pray and fast. But as long as they got me with them, they don't have to pray and fast. Right. Why? He's there. The woman with the issue of blood, what a wonderful story. She reached out and she said within herself, if I but just touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. Sense, knowledge, faith. There isn't one of you in this room, not one of you, that would be so stupid that if Jesus did not appear here physically today and said, I want to heal every one of you, there wouldn't be a one of you stay in your seat. You want to know why? Sense, knowledge, faith would be at work in you. He's here. And if you can't see him, Lordy, Lordy. Sense, knowledge, faith. It says Jesus was made manifest that he might unravel the works of darkness in our life. But listen. If they operated in the Old Testament by sense, knowledge, faith, and they operated by sense, knowledge, faith in the Gospels, then what is our faith based on today? Certainly is not sense, knowledge, faith. You did have a man one time say that he not only no longer believed in Jesus, he became Jesus, right? Yeah. He had a guy come and visit him. Said he was a pre-incarnate Christ. John says, I'm detecting something wrong here. Then how do we live today? If not by sense, knowledge, faith. How does our faith operate today? Oh, I hate to tell you this. Oh, I hate to tell you. But our faith operates today. We live by revelation knowledge. I'm sorry. Sorry to put that on you. Sorry to strap that puppy on you. And the only one qualified to give you this revelation is the Holy Spirit himself. When I begin to understand this, it did something to my conscious mind. It made it more responsible. Because before this understanding hit me, it dawned on me I could always substitute. There's two types of anointing working in the body of Christ today. One operates as the Holy Spirit wills. That anointing is called the outward anointing, which men glory after because it so exalts them. They're more interested in having a word of prophecy rather than falling in line with the inward anointing, which every believer possesses. I forget, this lady came over to my house dead at night when I had my bathrobe on. my bedhead working real well for me. And she tells me, I'm leaving your church. And I says, well, why? The Lord told me I got to increase my anointing. I looked at her and said, really? Yeah. I said, well, what does that do for me? You're not anointed enough. I got to go when there's more anointing. I never knew that the anointing operated by location. If that was the case, I told her, I said, well, gee, where are you going to go to get that increase? I'll go with you. Yeah. Oh, that's cute, Pastor. I decided to back off from that one. Anyway, how do you increase your anointing? How do you increase your anointing? Well, we can increase that outward anointing by using it and getting real familiar with it. But the inward anointing is not up to the Holy Spirit. That's up to you. Amen. How much do you want to submit to that inward teacher in your life? That's where your inward anointing will grow. That's what our young generation needs today. They need a revelation of how the inward anointing will really complement the outward. Yeah, we've seen visions of the ministry of young people rise up so powerful that they wouldn't even sleep for 3 days ministering to the sick, and every one of them were getting healed, and they were laying hands on the sick. Do you know what? Jesus made provision for sense knowledge Christians. You know how he made provision for them during our time period? Not because of an inward anointing, because of the outward anointing. That's why some Christians who never develop inwardly always have to go for the outward anointing to get direction. But eventually what God hopes you do is plug into the inner anointing so you grow up.
Amen.
That's the difference between 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 13. You following me? The Holy Spirit's job is to see to it that he mentors and teaches you to the point that your faith is developed through an unseen God so powerfully that all as you need is God's word on it, and you'll do it.
Amen. Yep.
At thy word, nevertheless, at thy word, Peter said, oh, come on, Jesus, you got to have better sense than that. We fished all night long, and you sitting there, and you say, throw the nets in on this. Come on, Jesus. And Jesus said, do it. Oh, nevertheless, at thy word, this guy's not a professional fisherman. He doesn't understand it. I've been in this trade for years. Takes the net, they throw it over, and they also, oh, the boat, it's going to sink. Well, what is that? The net's full of fish. Pull all that fish up. I believe. Jesus says, well, thank you. Why did they believe? Sense, knowledge, faith. None of us would have a problem believing if Jesus was standing right here. But when it comes to his word, that's what our faith has got to be based upon. Just the word apart from a body? Yep. That ain't fair. It is not fair to lazy believers. It is very fair to determined believers that are determined that their destiny with God is going to its full end. Whatever you don't want to happen to you is you do not want to be churched. That is not your destiny. Church is a part of where you go to learn about your inheritance, and then your walk with God out there is to obtain your inheritance by acting on the word that you received here. Trouble is, I can't go home with you. I've seen people operate in the outward anointing fantastically. Miracles. And yet, when it come to relationships with people, they were disasters. Why? No inward anointing. And that's why Paul was telling the Corinthian church, you guys can manifest the gifts of the Spirit. Man, you're awesome. Matter of fact, covet them. But man, it seems like what you're doing is turning these gifts into your own glorification. She says, you know the word tingling cymbal? I don't know why the translators worded it. It actually means clanging gong. It means a war whoop, a cry. Take a look at what God did through me. Ain't I great? And Paul says, you know what? You're absolutely zippo. You're nothing until you enter into being perfected in the love of God for the reason that the gifts operate through you. It's the love of God reaching outside you to touch broken humanity, to touch depressed people, to touch addictions, to touch people that need your help beyond what you could do in the natural. It's Jesus who walked on the shores of Galilee, walking in your being and moving and living and having His way in and through you. Glory to God. There's where your faith is. Glory to God. But we don't know how to put our body as a living sacrifice on the altar for the Lord to burn up everything. The reason they had cloven tongues over their head, each one of them, is because it was a sign that everything in your thinking that is wood, hay, and stubble, shaft, God is going to burn out through the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You're going to burn it up. So the only thing that's left in you is what's of God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Behold, I come, Hebrews 12. That is the child training chapter. He says, those that are born of me from Mount Zion, they're going to come and they're going to take correction. He says they're going to be so good that everything that is not of God in them is going to be so shaken that anything that is not of God will be removed. Glory to God. And only what God is left in them. Glory to God. Yes, God has made sense, knowledge, faith for us. By the laying on of hands and the outward anointing to be imparted. Thank God for that. Amen. That's how sinners get healed. Through the substitutionary redemptive work of Christ. It belongs to Him. In the Old Testament again. Even in the Gospels. Even in the book of Acts. There is no talk of substitution. There's no talk of redemption. There's no talk of justification. There's no talk of righteousness. There's no talk of the recreation, new creation. There's no talk of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ at the right hand of the Father. That only comes alive in the Pauline epistles. And there's where you need the Holy Ghost to tap in to all these truths, because your faith is based upon those truths. The apostles didn't know about these kinds of things. They didn't know the substitutionary work. They didn't know the completed redemption. They didn't know the new creation. Paul did. For he found Jesus after the Spirit and not the flesh. That's why they got into trouble until Paul's epistles were written. And many of his epistles were written before the Gospels. We think because the Gospel heads up the New Testament, they were written before. No! The book of John was not written until just before the book of 1 John. They had to come to as much light as Paul gave them, because he went on the backside of the desert, was caught up to the third heaven. It said he heard words that it was not lawful in the earth for any man to give that revelation. He was graced by it, came down to earth and began to reveal it even to the apostles. Now in closing, turn over to 2 Peter. Most of the churches you go to today are designed to babysit you. They never let you rise above salvation knowledge. They preach wonderful sermons. They give wonderful illustrations how to bring men into the kingdom of God. But the church is only partially designed for that. But the church is also has a commission from God to grow you up, make you mature, make you stable, make you faithful, make you prosperous, make you succeed. Amen. And you can't do that if you go to church all the time and just hear how to get saved. I think you guys got that down by now. I used to hate to sit under Dave Roberson because every time he preached, it went over my head. And finally, I decided, well, this isn't for me. And God said, what you need to do is jump up and catch some of it. Yep. Make an effort to hear. Put a little more effort into hearing the Word of God. Get more committed. A lot of us don't want to really commit because we got too much hanging on us and we don't know how to get the hanging off of us. Right. Well, so what? God didn't come to try to get the hanging off you. God come to reveal Himself to you so that you would have the want to get the hanging off you.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God.
He works with your heart. He works with your desire to do it. Amen. You just got to get in and let Him put the desire there. I didn't walk into church one day and say, whoop, God just gave me a desire to serve you. We'd all be on fire for God, people. That desire is up to you.
Amen.
I think I've discovered, I don't know if I should say that. I think I've discovered in resurrection, when He comes back for the church, it said even the dead in the sea will rise. I never could figure out what part they played. I thought, well, it's because they died in the sea and some died on land. I'm convinced it's a frozen church. Oh, shut up, Jan. Okay. 2 Peter chapter 1 before I get in trouble. 2 Peter chapter 1. I want you to go to verse 16. 2 Peter 1:16, and Peter is speaking from experience. He says, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory. This is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which we have heard from heaven, we heard when we were with Him in the Holy Mount. Now notice verse 19. Well, we have also. Outside the realm of sense knowledge, we have also. We have also. A more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in darkness, in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arises in your heart, knowing this first, that every prophecy or scripture becomes not of its own solution. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God, as they spoke, they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. They were moved by the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Glory to God. But He said, even though I had my sense attached to me, even though I was an eyewitness of the person that He was, even though I saw the glorification of His transformation, He said, I'll show you a more sure word. It is God's word birthed in you. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Alive in you. He went on and told Thomas, we read it. He said, oh, that is so sweet of you, Thomas, to believe in me. He said, but blessed are those that see not and yet believe. You know, people almost make mockery of operating by faith today. Take him to the doctor. The doctor, he tells them the truth physically. And then they turn to the Lord. And they petition Him for what belongs to Him. Glory to God. And then the doctors roll their eyes back in their head. Oh, that's that Christian stuff again. That's when they become liars. When they're telling you what's really wrong with you, they are telling the truth. But when they come against what the Word says about you getting your healing in spite of them, now they become liars. Mm-hmm. Never forget my sister in the hospital. You're the one I'm referring to. I saw that little lady. I don't know if you caught it. her rolling her eyes back in her head. She's sitting there and she says, I knew if I could get my pastor here and get hands laid on me, I know that I'm not going to die. This ain't not going to get any. Praise the Lord. And this lady goes, no, brother. Well, you know what you ought to do? When she gets in a crisis, go into a room and say, I'm back for you. People, we cannot have our faith begin and end in a doctor. Eventually, your conscience is going to have to get to where you begin to trust God and not hate doctors. Are you following me? Eventually, you're going to have to do that because that's all your faith will ever be based on. It would be wonderful if there was some teaching in here where it says, wait until Jesus shows up to validate what he said. I hate to tell you this, it ain't going to happen. Glory to God. We have no service tonight. Glory to... No. Why do you think I'm going on a little bit longer? Give you two messages of one. How many understand what I'm talking about? You see, you and I, we're not bound to sense, knowledge, faith. You know what we're bound to? Believe it or not, you're only bound to get results by revelation of the Word of God. That's why revelation is so important to understand. And the only one qualified to give you revelation is not somebody else. It is the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit's job. Why? Because the 12 apostles did not have the substitutionary work of Jesus. They didn't understand. They didn't have the complete understanding of redemption or righteousness or justification. They certainly didn't have an understanding of new creation. You ain't going to find it in the book of Acts where you'll find the Holy Ghost there. Why didn't they bring up the new creation? Because they only understood from the viewpoint of the Holy Ghost. That's all. They didn't know new birth. But glory to God. People, now our faith, I said all out to tell you this, our faith now is only based upon the Word of God. It is not sensual knowledge, it's revealed knowledge. It's revelation. Turn over to 1 John 5:4. It is revealed knowledge. It is revealed knowledge. I'm quoting this scripture all the time now. All the time. 1 John 5:4. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Now notice 4. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. No, whatsoever, not whosoever. He's referring to whatever is born of God, not whosoever, whatever is born of God, is what overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, our faith. It is our faith that has been birthed in us. That is what we overcome the world with. It is predicated on the established, completed work of the Lord Jesus Christ that we couldn't qualify for except believe on His qualification to get it. Glory to God. Your confession is different this time. Your confession is not, I will ascend into heaven. That is, get something from Jesus. I believe I'm going to receive my healing. I believe I'll receive. That is not the confession of a New Testament. A New Testament believer says, I have already received my position of health and healing and sickness and disease because Jesus carried it into His discipline. He carried it into His discipline. Therefore, I receive it. It is mine. Back off, body. Back off, devil. Your faith operates many ways. That's dominion faith. I have dominion faith because I can rebuke a devil. I can take dominion over his kingdom of darkness. But I can also have ruling faith over my body because Jesus paid for it already. Signed, sealed, delivered. I'm redeemed, paid for in full. Faith does not speak on that wise in our generation. Faith says, I have it now. Now faith is because I have my hope on already what is given to me, not what's going to come. I told the young man that I wanted to just cry. Dying. They told me what their faith was. I looked at him and said, "You're going to die." "Well, what do you mean?" It was like I just poured water all over their faith. Because what they had was not faith. What they had didn't belong to us. What they had didn't belong to them. What they had already belonged to them. What a deception. If I just sit and get the right kind of sign that shows me I'm going to be healed. No! That is not faith. Faith is, "Lord, they had determined that I'm dying. But you said in me, I would have life. The reason that I have life is I have seen the Father through the Son by the Holy Spirit's ability to make it come alive through the Word." Amen. Thank you, doctors, for your diagnosis. You turn to the Lord and say, "Well, it looks like the body slipped into death. I just want to let you know, Lord, right now I'm appropriating my rights to get rid of this thing. It doesn't belong to me. So I'm taking my position of authority that Jesus already paid for. I'm taking a position to let you know that this is my confession. Not if it mean I will. Not I believe I'll run up there and get a hold of Jesus in the third heaven and drag him down here. Not about, well, I believe that redemption isn't quite complete yet, so I'll drag him up from the abyss. No, it's talking about a completed substitutionary redemptive work that has been complete by him. And therefore, when I lay hands on a believer to get healing, it's simply God's grace on them through sense knowledge. You feel the laying on of the hands. Are you falling? Didn't mean to comb that lock up, man. And that is God. And yet Christians won't even still believe that. I've seen him get up and go down and sit and look puzzled. And I went up to one sister and I said, "Are you okay?" "Yeah." I said, "Praise God you're healed." "Well, I believe it." No, wait a minute. "You are healed." I believe I'm going to get it. I'm not. No. You ain't going to get it. You ain't going to get it. You stepped out of, now you're in debt here. You're in debt. You need a healing, and so God's indebted to you. He's indebted to you. If you still need the healing, he's indebted to you. Because you went to him and asked for the healing, didn't get it yet. God's indebted to you now. "Well, I don't look at God being indebted to me." Well, he's not. "Well, what are you saying?" "I'm saying you got healed." "Well, I didn't feel it." You got healed because you acted on the word, not because you could feel it. It, nowhere in the Bible does it say when you go forth for healing, they lay hands on the sick, they might recover providing they feel it. It says let them lay hands on you and the prayer of faith shall save the sick.
Amen.
We just go back, we sit down, we go check it out with the doctor, and the doctor said, "No, I don't see nothing yet." Some of you, Satan's putting things on you. Doctors can't figure out what's wrong with you. "Well, I don't think there's nothing there." Well, it's because there's a movement of the adversary in sense realm to try to get you to believe something is there so he could motivate you into a sickness that you probably never had to begin with. Just your head. Glory. I wish he'd shut up and we can go home. Okay, let's do it. Stand up, everybody. Did this help you this morning? Did it help you this morning? The only way your faith is going to work is the Word. Does the Word say it? Is it in the Word? You know, there are things that was in the Word for other people, but they're only examples for us. But our faith is different. Our faith is different. But it has to come out of you. It can't come out of Jesus. He already came out of him. Oh, if I could just but touch the hem of his garment like that lady did. It ain't going to happen. It's not for you. Our generation is different. That's why Peter said what he said. I show you a more sure word of prophecy than what your senses tell you. It is more sure. It is more sure. Glory to God. Preach myself healed. Hallelujah. 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 I preach myself healed. Hallelujah. 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 Let's praise the Lord for a minute. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, we love you. Oh, Jesus, we praise you. We don't have to operate by sense, knowledge, faith. We already got the Word in our lap. We can exercise our belief system through the Word of God. Hallelujah. There's only two kinds of unbelief that operate in the world. One is ignorance of the Word, and the other one is disobedience to the Word. The word disobedience means unpersuadable. I am persuaded by the Word of God. I am persuaded by the Word of God. Say that with me. I am persuaded by the Word of God. I am persuadable. I am persuadable. I am persuadable. What Jesus paid for is mine. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Glory to God. Thank the Lord. Just for a moment, we're going to take communion, but before we do, if there's anybody here this morning that has never been born of God, you would like to receive the new birth. This is where your inward being, would be changed. To where you become a citizen of the Most High. If that is there in you, a knowledge that you might not be born again, we want to fully persuade you, fully convince you, that all you have to do is ask and you'll be born again from above. Glory to God. Jesus paid for it. Hallelujah. So if you're here this morning, hallelujah, and you're not fully persuaded in that area, we want to pray for you. We want to pray for you. And if you're here this morning and you know that you're born again, but you've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, don't limit your spiritual depth. Receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We can lay hands on you for that. Praise God. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And if you've been out of fellowship with the Lord, I'm not going to have you come forward today. You examine your own heart where you are with Him. You examine your own heart. And if you've been breaking fellowship with Him, haven't been praying, haven't been drawing close to the Holy Spirit, let your conscience be your guide. I have confidence in the conscience of God working in you. You restore that walk. This morning, before you even leave here, so with that in mind, I want you to come forward. Anybody? Praise God. We've got two wonderful people that have come forward. Anybody else? Anybody else? Hallelujah. 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 Are you excited? Are you excited? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Anybody else join these wonderful people here? Praise God. Hallelujah. Anyone else? If you're struggling, thinking you should be here, quit it and get up here. Anybody? Hallelujah. Okay, let's pray and then we'll just submit you to the personal workers. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for these wonderful, good-looking girls. Father, as we now commit them to the hands of our altar ministers, may everything that they've asked for here be granted them before they leave in Jesus' name. Father, for they are precious in your sight. They are precious in your sight. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Father. Thank you for these two wonderful people. Oh, glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 You can do everything that the kingdom of God asks you to do, saith the Lord. For it is my strength within you to bring it to pass. Say not within yourself that you can't, but say within yourself, I can. I can. Okay, go with those two ladies from behind you there. Precious. Praise God. Thank you, ladies. You may be seated.